Here's some of what we heard on yesterday's Revive Our Hearts.
I developed a really bad cough. I knew that something was definitely wrong. I was having a hard time taking a deep breath, and it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. They've pretty quickly put me on oxygen.
We had a meeting with one of the doctors. He said, there's nothing we can do. She's on full life support. Well, we were told very early on that there was a good chance that she might lose limbs. You could see the fingertips start turning black, and then I could see it going up her arm. It was a specialist with the arms and legs that just flat out told us she's gonna lose all of them.
Honestly, it still felt like I had my hands and my feet. And so I just remember the moment that I found out I did not, just by honestly looking down. I had not even thought of looking because it felt like I had my limbs. And then I remember seeing the bandages and realizing what had happened. And that was devastating. It was a really, really hard day. I had been kind of upbeat and excited that I was awake and excited to go home. And then I realized I didn't have my limbs. And I remember telling my mom, I couldn't speak, mouthing to my mom, I'm done.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Choosing Gratitude. For November 25th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh.
Yesterday, we got to know two people who have encouraged and inspired me so much over this past year. If you missed part one of David and Sierra Deerking's story, I know you'll want to listen to that at reviveourhearts.com. When we ended the story yesterday, Sierra had woken up after spending several months in a coma. While she was asleep, the medicine used to save her life cut off circulation in her extremities. Then infection set in, and doctors ended up having to amputate her arms and her legs. We heard how Sierra had been reading my book, Choosing Gratitude, just before she got sick and went into the hospital, and how the book offered help to her family while she was in a coma.
As soon as I started reading the book, I knew it would be a book I would need to read over and over again. I am the type of person that easily finds flaws in things much more readily than I find the good things to be grateful for. And Nancy mentioned specifically in the book how gratitude is essential for healthy and stable relationships. And I knew I needed to work on gratitude in my marriage and especially in my parenting, thinking I am serving more than David, or, you know, I'm doing more parenting here, or with the kids just being aggravated if they were messing up my plans for the day, and just a real lack of joy in the service that I was doing for people. I can serve really well, but I wasn't doing it very joyfully.
And as you give him thanks, he promises that his peace, that supernatural, unexplainable peace, will be like a guardrail, a fortress, a bodyguard around your mind and around your heart.
Nancy talks about how gratitude is a life preserver. It keeps you from drowning when you're in difficult circumstances. And that was very true, especially in the hospital when things were the same day after day and I wasn't able to drink or eat or talk. It was a very low time in my life. And so I had asked for a gratitude journal to try and have whoever was with me that day write down some things in the journal that I was thankful for. And it was, you know, a card or flowers or pictures that people sent of who were taking care of the boys, pictures of the boys, family members that were coming in to stay with me, things like that that I was writing down and finding the goodness of God even in a time when I really wanted to just have a pity party. Gratitude was a life preserver for me at that time. I had asked for the gratitude journal when I had moved over to a unit where they work on getting you off of the ventilator. It was dragging on and on, it was really hard to get off of that, and I really needed to choose gratitude every day there.
There are moments where we were frustrated with each other because she was trying to communicate with me with things that she wanted, and I was the absolute worst lip reader. But one of the things that we found to do together that really helped was to start listing out the things that we were grateful for. And it made a huge difference. We talked about the house that he had provided us here and how it's much better set up for her and for her wheelchair, and just being thankful for our family and that they now live close, being thankful for our boys and the joy that they brought us, and people that would send us photos and videos of the things that the boys were doing through the day, and thankful for our church and all the encouragement that they gave us and all of the different ways that they've helped us. And, you know, when you start listing out all the things that the Lord has blessed you with, suddenly you realize, you know, we really do have a lot to be thankful for.
So when I came home from the hospital, I was so excited. I was elated. I had finished the journey in the hospital and I was done with that. But coming home the next day, I realized that I was not at all done and that this was a totally new journey, and it was hard. It hit me really hard. Nobody warned me about that. That coming home and just seeing the places where I used to walk and serve and just get down on the ground and play with my kids, just being back in my own home was really devastating. It was not what I thought it was gonna be. The day after I came home from the hospital, I again had that moment where I was done. I really was. I didn't want to be here. I couldn't see how I would ever be the wife or mom that I had been in this condition. And I was really struggling.
That was probably the lowest, one of the lowest for us when we first came home. And she ended up back in the emergency room. When we got there, they didn't have any beds. And we spent the night, the two of us, on a gurney. And she still had a pretty bad back wound, and she was in a lot of pain. And it just, like, things just seemed at their lowest at that point. And we just started listing out the things that God had blessed us with. And through this whole process, the ways that we had seen him work, I think that completely changed things for us. Because when we came home the second time, I feel like our perspective was a lot different that time. And it really felt like a redo. But the second time we came home was a lot different than the first.
And a friend from church was dropping off some food, and they came right into our bedroom, our very messy, messy bedroom. And she sat on my bed and she told me that right now my job was to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and that I could not keep thinking those thoughts. I had to really just take those thoughts captive. And I remember thinking that all throughout the night. I was having trouble sleeping, and I just kept waking up over and over again and just thinking to myself, I've got to take every thought captive, and I have to trust God for this hour. She said, don't even look ahead into the day. Just ask God to help you in this hour. And so that's what I did, and God was gracious, and our kids came back to stay with us a couple weeks after I had been home. Just God really used them to encourage me, and they just kept looking at me and saying, oh, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. I'm so glad you're home, and giving me so many hugs and kisses and snuggles. And after that, there was no doubt that I was not done. My kids were so excited. Their prayers had been answered, and that I was still here, and God would help me through day by day. So if someone else was singing that they were done, I would say take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let people into your life. I didn't want people to come over, but it is not good to suffer alone. Let people come in and help you. Be honest with people. I didn't want to scare people by telling them that I was done and that I didn't want to be here, but it's really important to be honest with people and to share that, because they can pray for you, they can be with you, they can reach out to somebody who is in a similar situation. Somebody, my mom and my sister-in-law found somebody to talk to me who had also lost their limbs. And just speaking to her and hearing her story and how she's 10 years past it was a great encouragement to me. So being open with others and sharing that, being in God's word, and not just being in it, but memorizing it, finding some scriptures that speak to whatever is going on in your life, and just memorizing those scriptures and meditating on them. The word of God is powerful and active, and it's gonna change your heart and mind like nothing else can.
The attitude of gratitude is what brings about the peace of God. We're familiar with that passage in Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Some translations say, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God your needs. Give Him your requests. Lift your supplications to Him. But make sure that as you do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving before you even get the answers. Thanksgiving because He is great and He is good, even if He doesn't do what you're asking Him to do.
You cannot, Nancy says in your book, you cannot whine and worship at the same time. So I cannot think about just self-pity and all of that, get sucked into that at the same time that I am thanking God for something in my life. So they're exact opposites and they're pulling you in two different directions. And to be honest, self-pity is the easiest direction to go. It will quickly suck you in, and it sucks me in sometimes, and I find myself crying, and I think that happens sometimes. You get sucked into self-pity and cry about some things, but God is gracious, and when you turn back to Him, He's ready and waiting to be there for you and to help you.
You will be able to rest in your heart even if battle is raging around you. You will have peace, the peace of God. Not because your circumstances have all worked out to your liking. Not because God has granted everything that you've asked Him to give you. But because God's presence will come in response to your thanksgiving.
Something that I just looked at the other day was how she talks about gratitude being a lifestyle, a grace-filled, biblical lifestyle that you have to choose every day to fight for. It's not something that comes natural to us, and it's something that you have to work hard on. And I do find that to be true. Some mornings I wake up and look at the wheelchair and I think, oh, I don't want to get in that wheelchair. I wish I didn't have that wheelchair. But then the other day, David took the wheelchair to get a lock system placed on the bottom so I can easily enter the van. And when I didn't have the wheelchair, I was like, I really wish I had that wheelchair. So I think God uses little things like that to teach me that there's a lot to be grateful for. Everything that happens in a Christian's life is somehow for our good and at the same time for His glory. This is not just Him trying to glorify Himself through doing something harmful to me. This is somehow, it's also for my good and for His glory at the same time. And so that's another thing. I have a sticker by my bed, and that's what it says. It says, for my good and His glory. And I just, another thing I have to remind myself of every day, sometimes throughout the day when I'm feeling discouraged or frustrated, that something, this is somehow going to work His will in my life, change me, change my kids, my family, something. He has a plan for it.
And those things that mean the most to us, the things that we were most thankful for, those aren't going to change. Those things aren't affected by the fact that she doesn't have arms or legs.
Since it does not look like I'm going to have an easy life, I can still have joy, and maybe even more joy than before, because really, before my joy was very much based on my circumstances and would change from moment to moment depending on how the boys were behaving or misbehaving. And I think that something that I have just learned through this is joy is possible always if you are looking to Jesus for it. I think the gospel has never seemed so wonderful as when so much of what you counted on for joy before has been taken away and you're trying to find that joy again. The gospel has just been such a comfort and a joy. The fact that Jesus is with us always and God is caring for us always, and the hope of heaven sounds even better now than it did before. And my youngest, he'll be like, in heaven, Mom, you'll have your arms and legs. It's so true, and I'm so excited for that, to be able to walk again on my own legs and to be with God.
Our boys still love her, even though she doesn't have arms and legs. They're still praying for her every day.
I really hope that what they learn is the power of prayer. When I was in the hospital, they prayed for me every day. And my youngest, if someone did not pray for me, he would tell them afterwards, hey, you forgot to pray for my mom. And so they prayed for me every day. And I told them yesterday, I was like, you know, Pastor was talking about King Hezekiah and how he was sick and he was about to die and he prayed to the Lord and God gave him 15 more years. And I was telling the boys, you prayed for me every day. And I know that God saved mommy's life. God listened to our prayers. His answer is not always yes, but in this case it was. And I just hope that they really remember how powerful prayer is and that it's the most powerful thing you can do for your kids, your spouse, yourself, your friends, your family. I hope that they remember that. And I hope that they could say of me that I trusted God when things didn't make sense. I am really grateful to be back home and to be a mom again. I'm really grateful for David sticking by my side through sickness and in health. I had some really rough, I looked really rough at times. I was pretty rough. Apparently, I was quite blunt when I was in the hospital. And David has stuck by my side through it all. I'm very, very grateful for the families who watched our kids when we were in the hospital. Our pastor's family and another sweet family from church took our kids in and treated them just like their own kids. They homeschooled them and took them to the splash pad and out to Sonic. And I just could not imagine what we would have done without them. And I had so much peace in the hospital knowing that they were being really well taken care of. So that was a huge blessing. Our church family, when we came home, they provided meals for months. Meals, breakfast, snacks. It was just a huge relief because when I came home from the hospital, I was just so tired and so weak. I couldn't even decide what kind of cereal to have for breakfast. So the fact that people provided meals for my family and me was a huge relief, and grateful for the amazing help that God provided. We had a great helper with us over the summer, and then she went back to college, and I was really fearful about who's going to come take her place. And we had someone come and try for a couple days, and it wasn't a good fit for her, and we were without help for a little bit, and that was really hard. But I knew that God is very able to provide and in his timing. And so we were maybe without help for a week. And then he brought a girl into our lives who is she's a believer. So she's encouraging and she cleans the house and organizes like I did. And she's great with my kids. And so she's just been a huge, huge blessing to us. Also, my mentor, I had a mentor before I was sick. I had a mentor at our old church before we moved. And when I came here, I asked Pastor if he knew of anyone who would want to help just kind of give me advice for parenting and marriage and life in general. And so I had a mentor and friend, and she came to the hospital, even though she said she didn't know what to say. And she came to the hospital and was very encouraging. She just came and she sat by my bed and just cried with me. And she just said, you know, God is good. That's what I needed to hear. I needed to be reminded, even though I was a believer, that God is good. And so she wrote out verses and put little flowers around it and hung it at the end of my bed. That was just such an encouragement to me in the hospital. And she still comes every week to read different books with me. She gives me memory verses to memorize, and somehow she just knows just the verses I need, or God knows just the verses I need for that week to be encouraged and uplifted and to make it through each day. So she's been a huge blessing, and I'm really grateful for her. After going through what I've been through and just how low that was, it's a bit easier for me now to have gratitude for even a cup of water, because for so many months I just was watching people drink bottles of water and really wishing I could have some water. So yeah, just being able to get out of bed, to be in my own home, to go outside. There's a lot of things that I took for granted before that are things I'm really grateful for today. Before, I felt entitled, and I just did not realize, I think a lot of us don't realize how good our lives really are until that's taken away from you. And to be able to get any of it back seems like a real blessing.
I hope you'll take a few minutes and list some things you're grateful for, just as Sierra has been doing. David and Sierra's story tells us something powerful. We really can give thanks in all circumstances. And when we do, it greatly affects the way we handle those circumstances.
That's so true, Nancy. You know, that's why today only we're offering your book, Choosing Gratitude, for a donation of any amount. Now, this is the resource that inspired Sierra to focus on God's good gifts, even in the face of tragedy. If you're in need of a perspective shift too, then this resource is for you. To give and request Choosing Gratitude, visit reviveourhearts.com/donate, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. You can also see Sierra's story of gratefulness on video. A team from Revive Our Hearts visited the Deer Kings in their home and filmed their story. You can see it all at reviveourhearts.com, and you can share it. I know your friends are going to be encouraged by this powerful portrait of gratitude, too. Well, these episodes were recorded back in 2024, but I've got some exciting news for you. Sierra was at our True Woman Conference just last month. And at that event, she updated us on how the Lord is working beautifully in her life.
I have spent the last year going to appointments, prosthetic appointments, to get some arms and legs and rehab appointments. Also learning how to drive my wheelchair. I've taken out big chunks of the wall and some doors off the hinges, so I'm fully licensed now, don't worry.
Oh, you are just precious. You know who else is precious is your husband.
Yes.
Tell us about him.
He is a true servant. He fills all the roles that he has to do without complaint, and he has a lot of roles. He's husband, caregiver, father, full-time worker, and I also hired him for my company that I decided to start for the t-shirts and the watercolors. So he's my only and my best employee. Yes.
She also had a surprise meeting with another speaker that I can't wait for you to hear more about. All that's tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.